Let us pray. Dear God, your word is powerful. Your word is life-giving. Your word is redemptive. And your word lifts us up. Lord, this morning may your word come alive for us as we unfold your mystery contained in the scriptures. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any train lovers?
I don't mean
train trains.
Yeah. Riding trains. Yeah. I
like riding steam trains.
You like riding steam trains? Okay. Great. Anyone else?
Peter
likes to ride a train. Wilbur as well? Great. And Jeff too. Right. Well, shortly after I arrived in New Zealand, which was maybe decades ago, my father took the whole family on to this silver fern train. Is it still around?
No, not anymore.
It was to take us from Wellington all the way to Auckland. And we did the overnighter. So it was an interesting experience for a young boy like me, you know, such a long trip and sleeping on bunks. So it was exciting. But then, again, you know, you ride on a train, you get kind of shaped left and right all the time. And then later, some years later, I had the opportunity to also took the train from Picton down to Christchurch. I think it's called the Southern Nose or something. Anyway, it was blue in color. That's all I can remember. So there was the silver one, and there was the blue one. So I have had this kind of experience of riding train. Well, I'm talking about train today. Well, we have been focusing on mission. And mission does not mean just we pay someone else to do it or we get someone else to do it for us, but rather we have to do the mission ourselves because our God is a missional God. But to do mission means that we have to be ready. We have to be filled with the Spirit, that we have the fuel and all the other stuff so that we can actually have the heart and the will and the desire to do mission. And that's why I want to focus today and next week using the psalm that we have just read out earlier. Today I'm going to focus on the Word of God. Now, if we are going to be holy, godly, loving people, or radical risk-taking, or mission-minded people, we need to have our lives on two tracks. That's why I talk about train to begin with. On two tracks, all right? Like the wheels of a train. One of them would be meditating on the Word of God, which is what we will look at today. The Word of God. And the other one is praying before the throne of God. Now, why do we emphasize Bible reading and prayer so much in our Christian life? God speaks to us through His Word, which is the word rail. Now, you notice we no longer have rails here anymore because we decided that it is easier for our people to just come to the front and to take the Holy Communion. So in this case here, we have done away with the rail. But for us, as God's people, we need the word rail, which is really like the two tracks for a train to go on. And the other one is the prayer rail, which we will deal with next Sunday. And we respond to Him. We respond to God, which results in our true communion with God and our relationship with God. I don't think there is anything more basic in a Christian life than to know the supremacy of God, of Christ, and to hear God speaking to us. And to speak back to God, which is through our worship, our praise, and the longing of our hearts, and through prayers. And that's why these two tracts are so critical in our Christian life. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, it tells us, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Again, friends, you see the importance of the Word of God and of prayers. They go hand in hand. So today we look at this word rail. Word rail in verse 18, it talks about the wonderful things from your word. That's verse 18 in the Psalm 119 we have just read together. It gives us that insight that is so important for us to understand. Now, by the way, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. The longest chapter in the Bible. So you can go home and read it all by yourself. Now, it's broken down into various paragraphs in the Psalm 119. And each paragraph begins with a Hebrew letter. If you look at, maybe not all the versions have that, but that's what it is. So let's talk about the Word of God. Word is life. Word is life. And in verse 17 of the psalm, it says, deal bountifully with your servant, referring to David himself, but also to us, that I may live and keep your word. That I may live and keep your word. It is life-giving. The Word of God gives life. The whole goal, it seems, of the psalmist's life is to keep on breathing and living so that it could be about God's Word. That is life. That is life. And that's what we call God-centered living. So, then what are these wonderful things that may be found in the Word of God? Where it talks about the wonders of the Word. First, there are wonderful things in the Bible, things that if you see them for what they are, will take your breath away, will stun you beyond anything you could see in this world. In Psalm 119, verse 18, open our eyes, and I thank Roger picking the very good song to begin with, to open our eyes. Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. The wonderful things that is going to be unfolded, unpacked for us, because we read the Word of God and God revealed the message that we need to know and understand. Beholding is becoming. It is seeing that produces the changing. So, secondly, God gives us sight. No one can see the wonderful things of God in the Word without supernatural help. If God doesn't do it, we don't see them so clearly. That's heavy. That's big. The Spirit of God help us to have that insight and understanding when we read the Word of God. And it has massive implication theologically by understanding that it is God who help us to understand. It is the Spirit of God which reveal the mystery and the truth to us. And we cannot see them without God's help. Let me explain further. Remember Jesus and Peter when they have this encounter.
And Jesus said to them, the disciples before him, he said, "But who do you say I am?" Jesus asked them a very, very important question. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say to Peter's reply? Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father who is in heaven." That is found in Matthew. In other words, Jesus is saying that what you said, you gave the perfect, the right answer to my question. But it is not through flesh and blood that Peter, you came to the understanding. But it is through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that Peter could say that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And that's what I mean, that how the Spirit helped Peter and how the Spirit helped us today in understanding the Word of God and not just relying our own intellect, our education, whatever we may need to understand the Word of God. So God was on Peter so that he could answer and gave that perfect answer. He couldn't have seen it otherwise, but supernaturally, by God's help. And the Pharisees and others who weren't there, who might have been there, they didn't see it. Because one, they have hardened hearts, and they didn't have the spiritual revelation. That's why today, there are many godless scholars and teachers and even theologians who may study the Bible and theology and know very well all the details, but they themselves are not Christians because they don't necessarily have that understanding. So by studying, by knowing, does not necessarily understand what it says, but through the revelation of the Spirit of God. So, how come we don't see? I have poor eyesight, and I have had operations and detached retina and a few other things as well. So now I have to have big prints so that I can see and able to share the word with you. There are two particular conditions that may prevent us from seeing and knowing and understanding the Word of God. One is that we're blind to the wonders. Blind to the wonders. You know, sometimes some of you share when you look out the windows and you see the birds and the plants and you see the wonder of God. But quite often we take these things for granted. We don't see. It's there, but we don't necessarily see them. And Ephesians chapter 4 is described to us, the Gentiles, all of us, as darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. So owing to the hardness of our hearts, pride and self-centeredness and every other things that we don't see God, or we don't see what God may be saying to us today or every other day or through nature, or even when we open the Bible we find it's boring, dry, and we don't see what God may be saying to us. Ignorance due to hardness of heart. Well, why don't we get our mind unignorant? Well, it's not a reason problem, but it's more a heart problem or heart condition. Sometimes we have all the intellect that we could apply, but it is the heart sometimes prevent us from understanding or unignoranting. We sometimes may need a new heart in order to gain that depth of understanding.
that we need God to take out our heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh so that we may understand. Or in other words, we may need God to circumcise our heart so that we love the Lord our God and we may live. Like Peter, seeing what looked like an ordinary person, a fisherman with an ordinary face, two arms, two legs, a nose and ears, and bowing down and saying, "Son of God, that's who you are, Jesus." That is a kind of change that we need. The second condition is even worse, I say, is seeing without seeing. Seeing without seeing. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 2 to 3, Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt," and so on and so on. The sign and those great wonders. Moses was reminding the people of Israel, "Do you remember seeing God's hand on you in the wilderness? All the signs and wonders that he did before your eyes? Can you remember?" Hear the word wonders. "You have seen the wonders," Moses said to the people. "You have just seen it with your own eyes, the wonders of God." No worship is going to be authentic in any of our churches if people aren't seeing wonder in the word of God. Word has to be life-giving, redemptive. It's not about formalities. Not about rituals. It's not about mouthing songs unless they are meaningful to us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, "Seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear." Jesus was referring to those people who have hardened hearts, or the Pharisees, refusing to see, refusing to hear. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. Yes, people can read pages and pages of Bibles or notes and all the text before them, but see nothing spiritual significance. Until God enlighten us with the eyes of our heart that is open so that we can see. As Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Through the Holy Spirit, God revealed to us. So friends, as we focus this week, and then we'll continue next week on, let us soak in the wonders of God. Let us soak in the wonders of his words. There are wonders in God's word, expressed in authentic worship that we come together on a Sunday, and transforming your life and the lives of our community. We want people to be transformed into the image of God and of Christ. So preaching and Bible study and all kinds of interchanges should exist with the aim of making the word more central in our lives. Read God's word. Meditate on it. Digest and pray the Holy Spirit will guide us into deeper understanding. If we don't read, we don't know. If we don't read the word of God, we're not fed spiritually. That's how crucial it is with this train that you and I are on. Today is this train, the work rail. So I always like asking questions. Let me give you a few concluding questions to each of us may ask ourselves as we finish up. Will you continue to grow in your grasp of God's word? Will you continue to grow in your ability to apply it and live it out with radical authenticity? Be it mission, be it loving your neighbors, be it reaching out to strangers. And will you continue to be transformed by the word of God day in and day out? And I leave you with that question.